Amen. Amen. We're going to go to Galatians 5 and 1. If you can stand for the reading of the word, it's just one scripture, one verse, one chapter, first verse. Fifth chapter, first verse. I'm reading out of the NIV version. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Amen. 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 So if you were with me back in February, when I spoke on sin, this is actually like a part two of it. So we in the New Testament, Galatians, never looked at it, never read it. So I had to go do some research because here at 3PD, we are Bible scholars and we like to go back and do our historical context, and I had to go do some deep diving. So I'm like, okay, Galatians, what is Galatians? And I went and I found out good old Paul is writing some more letters to the people because the people just don't do right. So he's writing some letters, and he wrote to Galatia, and Paul's letter to the Galatians was a very powerful reminder of what it means to live in true freedom, and what Christ offers. So the people in the church begin to kind of slip back into like the rule keeping, rituals, and it began to weigh them down, and it kind of sounded familiar. I was like, that kind of sounds like us today. We kind of fall back into those old ways. But Paul's message was really clear. Christ alone sets us free, and our salvation is a gift. Something we earned, Jesus' work on the cross was enough. And that's what brought back. So I was like, oh, I just remember speaking on this about sin in February. And so I know Paul was dealing with some hard-headed people. I'm like, I know they had to be some black people. I know there were some black people. So I know they had the questions, you know, the rebuttal, like all of that. And I'm sure they were asking questions like, well, how are we free? Like, I still feel like I'm in slavery. But I just wanted to stop by and tell y'all, like, sin promises freedom, but it traps us in cycles of guilt, cycles of shame, cycles of destruction. Sin always takes us further than we want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and costs way more than we want to pay. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. I think that went over somebody's head. Sin always takes us further than we want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and costs way more than we want to pay. But I want to remind you, your freedom in Christ is a costly thing. It cost Jesus his life. And I don't take that for granted. In him, you stand free of the yoke of the law that has been removed. That's Acts 15, 6 to 11. Go read that later. Sin isn't just about doing something wrong. So I had a visual, because I'm like Pastor T. I had a visual. So I saw this chain wrapping around our hearts and our minds, and it was like binding us. And then we're trapped. And that lingering guilt, the cycles of bad habits, and the constant voice of telling us I'm not worthy. I'm speaking for me now. Yeah. Not about y'all, but I'm speaking for me. It becomes a cycle telling you you're not worthy. And it quietly enslaves us. But Jesus just didn't come to erase that. He came to break those chains. Romans 7 and 15, Paul admits he does what he hates. We cannot break sin's power on our own. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to get to a level of Christian maturity, but I hate some of the stuff that go on in my life. I hate it. And I just be wanting to like cast it out. So at the end of the day, I can't do it on my own. It's not self-help. It's not good work. Not your willpower. Cannot break that spiritual bondage. We may change habits, but only Christ can change the heart. An important aspect of Christian freedom is our responsibility not to return to living under the law. So I'm going to pause right there. Because as I was studying, you know, I'm sticking with my scripture. I'm reading. I'm like, okay, for freedom, Christ has set us free. stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Like, why did he have to put that in there? Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Because he know us. He know what we're going to do. We're going to fall back into those old habits. We're going to fall back into those old cycles. We're going to begin to talk down on ourselves and let the enemy play with our mind. That was just me 2-3 months ago. Sitting in a mess, in a funk. Like our Minister Jackson talked about us being like stuck. Like you stuck in your feelings. You stuck in your emotions. They will lead you down a path of destruction. The purpose of the law was to define our sin, but was to show that we needed a savior. Christian freedom involves living under burdensome obligations of the law, but not under the grace, but under God's grace. For sin shall no longer be your master, but you are under the law. But you are not under the law, but under grace. That's Romans 6:14. Believers aren't free to sin, but free to live holy in Christ. If you don't remember nothing else I said tonight, you got to be holy. You got to live holy. You got to live holy. So that we may die to our sins and live righteousness. That's 1 Peter 2:24. So I was like, okay, Lord. So we're getting up out of this thing. We're trying to do better. Like, what does it take? Like, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, it don't take all that. Oh, yes, it does. To live holy, to live righteousness. It does take that. So I know Paul studied talking to the people. He teaching. And another question probably came up, like, how does your freedom in Christ break the power of sin? In Christ, we are free from the law's oppressive system. We are free from the penalty of sin. We are free from the power of sin. Christian freedom is not a license to sin. So just because you free in Christ don't mean you still get to be the same. Doesn't mean you still get to hang around the same crowd that you know don't mean you no good. Don't mean you still get to do what you want to do. Still curse people out and go about your day. Like, that's not it. We are free in Christ, but we are not free to live however we want, indulging in the flesh. The worst bondage you can experience is living for yourself and yielding to desires of your old nature. Like, that is a dangerous place to be. I've been there, slowly coming up out of that. Like, that is not a fun place to be. You basically living for yourself, not Christ. Later down the chapter in Galatians 5:13, Paul tells his people, like, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and my sisters, but do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Believers aren't free to sin, but they are free to live what? Holy, 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 holy lives in Christ. So I'm sure, like, the people are like, okay, Paul, I'm getting what you're putting down. So what is it? Who is this Christ man? Christ is the liberator. He's the one that went to the cross. Jesus took the penalty of sin and broke his power. The resurrection, he conquered death. He proven his authority to set us free. And the Spirit, oh, the sweet Spirit, gives us power to walk in freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:17. But Christ doesn't just forgive us, y'all. He transforms and he releases. So once he releases, you're able to live in that freedom. You're able to have an identity shift. You go from a slave to a son of a daughter. Son of a king. A daughter of a king. You get new obedience. You're free not to do whatever you want, but you're free to live in righteousness. And I would rather be on that side than that side. So, you know, you have to keep in the forefront to surrender daily to Christ. Surrender daily to him. Renew your mind with the word. Walk in accountability. We don't want to do that. We always point the finger, but it never points back at us. And stay in fellowship. That's important. Stay in fellowship. Because then it will begin to replace the old chain with godly discipline. Prayer. Worship. My favorite. Worship. I love to worship. And service. This right here. This is important. And I just thank God for revival. I thank God for my pastor. Seeing fit for me to and before you guys, yeah, I ain't always got it right, y'all. You know, like I said, just 2-3 months ago, I was in a mental place. A mental place. Emotional. I was on an emotional change. I was angry. I was bitter. I was fearful. And I let it get the best of me. And I didn't realize it until I got a text from my pastor saying, hey, feel like you're going back in the shadows. I'm like, no, I'm not. But it reminded me when Pastor T preached one Sunday about us riding that wave. And you be riding for so long. And you look back and you're like, oh, no. Where the beach at? Where the sand? Where the shore? Like, that's how sin works. When you enslaved with sin. Like, you be so far out to the point where you don't even know. You're like, wait. Now, was I pissing people out? No. Was I stealing? No. But the fact that I let the enemy play with my mind, told me I wasn't good enough, told me that I couldn't do it, mad at people for the wrong decisions. And God had to remind me, like Tony said, that remember the prophecy. Because God was very clear. He was like, if you would have did the thing I told you to do 5 years ago, you wouldn't even be in the situation you're in right now. So I thank God for the prophecies, for the Holy Spirit to remind us, you know, of the addictions of lust, greed, that anger, bitterness, fear, spiritual deception, thinking that you're in control when you actually are bound. That's a dangerous place to be. And I feel like only true Christians know John 8:36. These two. If the Son sets you free, you will be what? Free indeed. Amen. Amen. Amen, y'all.